word that you have left as a guide for us. Pray that we get a spiritual understanding of all that you have said to us. And may we understand that there's always another nugget in your word. Help us to draw close to you so we can learn to love our brothers as ourselves. Bless me now as I speak. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Ushers, you may take your seat. Faithful helper. All of us, whether we are willing to admit it or not, need help. Amen. Some in one way and some in another, and some of us in the same way, but just different. Faithful helper. I want to tell you a story from the eyes of a 10-year-old boy looking at his father. This story is told about his father when his father was a boy. So undoubtedly his father's grandfather had to tell him. His father had a job, a chore, when he was growing up. He had to do something probably not too many people in here had the privilege and the honor of doing. He had to slop the hogs. He was a little boy, about 10, and he would have to slop the hogs, and the slop would be in a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket most of the times. Being a little kid in there with big hogs, when he go in there, the hogs would always knock him down before he would get to the trough. The trough is visualized, if you will, this chair, just like this, with this over here as well as over here. A trough is made like part of a rectangle, but it's not doesn't have a top to it. It has two sides and a bottom. A lot of ours were made out of old 2x6s. 2x6 or 2x8s. And you make the trough, and that's where you put the slop. That's where you feed them. So this would happen to his dad. He'd get knocked down. The hogs would knock him down. And he couldn't put it in the trough. He figured out a solution. He had an old German shepherd named Sugar Bear. Every morning when he went to slop the hog, Sugar Bear went with him. Sugar Bear went in the hog pen first. Sugar Bear made the hogs stay back because they were afraid of Sugar Bear. So Sugar Bear would stand between the father and the hogs, and they could not get to him. After he started taking Sugar Bear in there to slop the hogs, they did not knock him down anymore. A helper is what you need. The German Shepherd was his father's helper. The dog would just go in and stand. And no hog would come that way. Sugar Bear probably had taught them a lesson. And we have a faithful helper. Point number one. Who is this helper? If you close your Bible, you're going to need to open it again. I got 4 points, and every one of them will go to somewhere else other than Jeremiah 7 or 20. John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Who is this helper? And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, for point number one. This comforter that he will give us, this helper, his name is the Holy Spirit. He is the helper. He is the comforter. The receiving of the Holy Spirit is conditional, meaning you have to meet certain conditions. And is in there, and it is a Holy Spirit is a person who loves. Is given to a person who loves Jesus. This person is given the Holy Spirit. Note also that the Spirit is given because Jesus prays for us. He is our intercessor, the one who pleads our case. It is not that God is unwilling to give the Holy Spirit. That's not the point. The point is that Jesus is our mediator, our intercessor, the one who makes it possible for us to receive the Spirit. All right. Jesus Christ is the reason that we are able to receive this Spirit. If he said he will send him back to us. He will send you another comforter. A comforter is one of those I call them blankets that you have on your, I have one by the side of my recliner. When I get in my recliner, if I feel like I'm cold, I get my blanket, my comforter, and it covers me and warms me up. It keeps me. And this is what Jesus is telling us here. He's going to send us another comforter. If a person truly loves Jesus, that person is given the Holy Spirit. I know that kind of bothers some of you if you're a thoroughbred Baptist. You don't think you ought to have that, but you got to have it if you're going to see Christ. You have to have the Holy Spirit indwelling within you. He have to come and tabernacle with you. He have to live within you. You have somebody else living within you if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior. All right. This source of the Holy Spirit, it's given to us by Jesus, but the Father is the source of the Holy Spirit. He sent Jesus, so Jesus had to bring what God was going to send. The Son, who Jesus Christ, God, who gave his Son, and it is the Father who gives the Holy Spirit. Jesus is just doing what God sent him here to do. God longs to give us the Holy Spirit. He wants to do that because he loves his only Son. And if we receive his Son, we also receive him. You can't have one without the other. If you receive one of them, you're going to have to receive the other. You might be like Brother Paul. You might just want to serve God until you meet Jesus. Someone said that you can't meet Jesus and stay the same. If you meet him, he's going to change you because he has the authority and the power to give to you what the Father sent, and the Holy Spirit will change you in your life. You might not want to let him change it first because we are comfortable. We enjoy where we are in our sin. If we didn't enjoy sin, we wouldn't sin. Amen. Light. God longs to do everything for the person who loves his Son. And the greatest thing that God can do for those that love his Son is put the Holy Spirit within them. Because you love Jesus Christ, God will give you the Holy Spirit. This is the comforter that Jesus was talking about in 14, chapter 14 of John, in verses 16. This is the comforter that he was talking about that he was going to give you. And he will make a change in your life. And change is one of the things that we do not like. He will deposit that spirit within you. And when he deposits that spirit within you, you become a member of the family of God. You become adopted in this family that's called Christian believers. You have to want to be in this family. If you don't want to be in this family, you don't have to be. You got a choice. He gave us a choice. That's why he gave us a brain. I believe that's why Adam and Eve sinned, because they had a choice. The apes and everything are doing the same thing they were doing then, unless man tried to train them. What God put in them, that's what they're going to do. So therefore, this comforter is the third part of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit, he comes and he abides. He tabernacles with you. He just does not visit you when the preacher is preaching about your favorite subject. He does not just visit you because you feel good when the deacon prays. No, he has to inhabit you. He has to take over your life. He tabernacles. Well, I don't know. In the game of basketball, they got something called the key. You can stay in the key when you're on offense 3 seconds. If you stay in there longer than 3 seconds, it's a violation. The other team gets the ball if you're on offense. If you're on defense, you can stay in there all day. But if you're on offense, you can only stay there 3 seconds. If you stay in there longer than 3 seconds on offense, the term that a lot of coaches use is do not tabernacle in the key. Do not go in the key to stay. You just pass through. The Holy Spirit does not do that. If you only think you have the Holy Spirit when you begin to get emotional, you missing it. You missing it. He needs to be with you when you get upset with your husband at home. When you get upset on the job, when those people cut you off when you're driving, he needs to be tabernacling with you then. You don't just let him tabernacle with you on a Sunday. And just on the day we take communion, you be holier than thou. You are holy, but it's a different kind of holy. You got holes in you. And it's not staying. Point number two. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. All joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Point number two, the God of hope. In a strong church, everyone is filled with hope. God is a God of hope. He is the author of hope. He is the foundation of our hope. He is the builder of our hope. And he is the finisher of our hope. All of these cannot be possessed apart from God. If you don't have God within you, if you do not allow his Holy Spirit to tabernacle within you, those things you will not possess. We can only possess them only as he gives them to us. You can't decide when you're going to get saved. I know, and we extend an invitation every Sunday. But if God have not drawn you, you won't. If you come, you won't stay. You'll just be doing it for show. But if God draws you at the time that the invitation is given, you will come. But he have to draw you to him. In Christ, there is joy. Joy is an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. It is a depth of assurance and confidence that ignites a cheerful heart. Listen to me. Joy is not happy. Happiness will leave you. Joy won't leave. It'll be deep on the inside. You can be going through a sad situation and yet be joyful. People lose loved ones that they love so much, but there's still a joy within them when you talk to them because they know where they believe, where their loved one is. They got a joy that's bedded deep down on the inside. And we talking about this faithful helper that God provides for those that believe in his son, Jesus the Christ. You cannot get one without the other. You have to take them all. When this God of hope comes along, hope has a tendency to take us a little bit farther than we think we can go. Hope will make you do things that you don't see the end of, but you're hoping and you're praying and you got faith that God will provide just what you need. Most of us, if not all of us, are where we are now because we had hope. Had faith and we had the hope. We had the faith enough to hope that we could do what we set out to do. Even when it looked like I never would make it. I hope, my hope and my faith will get me through this. If I just hold on, and it's going to get difficult. It's going to get difficult. Then when the going get tough, don't leave. Stay right there. When everybody seemed to be against you, nobody seemed to be on your side, not even the people that you just knew were going to be there. They left you too. But you got a secret partner around the table, and that's called God. And Jesus said he would leave a comforter with you, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is that something that's down on the inside of you that just will not let you do what's wrong. And when you do what's wrong, he will convict you. He'll confront you, he'll convict you, and then if you take it, he'll comfort you. After he convicts you and mess with you, he'll still comfort you. Because that's his nature. He brings peace and joy and happiness. Joy does not depend on the circumstances. Joy does not depend on the circumstances. Joy does not depend on the circumstances. The circumstances may look bad, but you can still have joy. Who was that? Shirley Caesar? This joy that I have? Said the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. If the world can take your joy away, God didn't give it. If the world can take it, God didn't give it. You got it from somewhere else. You didn't get it from God because the joy of God reigns deep down on the inside of me. When nothing says I ought to be joyful, I'm joyful because I remember Calvary. And I said, Lord, I thank you that it's not as bad as I thought it was. It's that bad when I take my eyes off of the cross. Keep your eyes focused on the cross of Calvary and you will have joy. The circumstances, this too shall pass. It won't last always. We have a peace. And this peace that we have comes through believing in this God that we serve. Might not see my way out. How you gonna do this, back? I don't know. I'm trusting in God. And when you leave, they'll laugh at you. But you still trust in God. And then one day you can say, oh, but look at me now. Because that God that you thought that was not going to do it, he did it anyhow. In spite of me and all of my mess, he brought me through. He didn't leave me where I was. I told you earlier that you can't meet Jesus and stay the same. When everybody else think you're down and out, just stay down and continue to pray. And see, now there's a song. They used to sing that song. So I think Sister Lewis and Sister Parker used to sing. Say, he reached way down and picked me up. No matter how low you get, God can find you if you are his child. God by me is just like we say a mother is about her children. You let one of her children get in trouble, she'll walk the floor all night long. She'll pray all day long. She'll cook for everybody else, and she won't never eat, but she's worried about her child. And soon as that come home, he's the worst one in the litter. When he comes home, everything seems to be all right because that's her child, and she loves her child. If she can do that about her child, how do you think God is about me when I get beat up and talked about and things happen because I'm serving this God? He will stand right by you. He'll pick you up. And when you get knocked down because you're serving God, and then when he pick you up, he won't put you back at the same place. You heard the scripture I read this morning. He'll do you like it. He'll give you hind feet. That's the feet of a deer, meaning you can stand on high ground. You can walk on places that you never could walk before because you have this God of hope way down deep on the inside of you. Listen, see, some people think that all of us that are Christians are people that believe in escapism, that we can just escape stuff because we serve God. That's not true. We just know that God will provide. We're not people that think everything that happened to me have to be positive. Some negative things can happen to me, and out of this, God will bring an elevation. When you get sick sometime, it doesn't mean that you're always going to die. You just got to go through something. You got to go through because Jesus, helped me, Holy Ghost, went through Calvary. But when he come out of Calvary, he was all right. He went in as a man with some power in it. But the Bible says, I remember reading somewhere, said when he stepped out, he said, I got all power. Not some power. I got all power. See, when God bring you up, he gonna bring you up better than you were when you went down. God won't take you through something that he's not gonna get the glory from. Thank you, Lord. In the men's Sunday school class this morning, they didn't get to the lesson until 10 minutes after 10 because they started testifying and God was filling my soul. They start talking about the goodness of God, and it's just like fire shut up in my bones. When this one shut up over here, another one sprung up over here because they were talking about the goodness of God. I was sitting there saying, thank you, God. Thank you for your healings. Thank you for what you brought us through. Got a God of hope, and you got to know that you got this God, and what he done for one, he'll do for another one. You got to know, and know that you know that you know that you know that this God will not leave you, nor will he forsake you. We talking about the faithful helper. Listen, God will give you knowledge that you don't think you have. Most of us, like me, you might not remember the address of the verse, but he lets you remember who lives there. That's the verse. That's giving you knowledge, and he will allow you to minister to people that you don't think you can minister to. But if you just walk with God, God will provide just what you need. And don't you one time think that God don't know where you are. He got you on his radar. He got you on GPS. He knows right where you are, but you just got to stay in touch with him. Hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on. Listen, when we are believers and we mess up in the relationship,
He chastises us. And he does that because he loves us. He does not want us to think that there are not consequences for the sin that you commit. Do you lose your salvation? No. Mm-mm. Just, I got to discipline you. I got to take you out to the woodshed. Uh-huh. Yeah. Got to. And I do believe that this is where parents that are real parents that used to say when they were sparing the rod and when they were not sparing the rod and spoiling the child, when they would say, this hurt me more than it is you. I know what they meant now. Because no parent that's a true parent likes for their children to do wrong and to have to discipline them because they've done wrong. Not that the parent failed, the child just didn't receive it. So you got to try to put it in them another way. The methodology is what changed. Yeah, uh-huh. Instead of trying to come in up here, you might have to come in. And what he does when this happened to us, we let God reconcile, bring us back to him because he is the God of hope. He does not want us away from him because we are his children. He wants us in with him. And when we misbehave, there's discipline that needs to happen to us. And it happens because he loves us. He doesn't disown you or say, no, you're no longer my child. He just wants you saved and wants you to do right. And what happens, you don't lose your salvation. You lose rewards. And that's what they do to children now in school. When they're good, they give them rewards. But now if you are misbehaving and you get your name on the board 3 or 4 times, you don't get you don't get a reward. And so if you don't get one, that means you have to watch everybody else eat their Tootsie Roll and you sitting up there without one. If they give them candy, I don't know whether some of them can't have that. Well, I mentioned this to you in point number 2, but I'm going to talk about it again in point number 3. Point number 3, John chapter 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you things to come. Point number 3, the reason for persecution. The main reason for persecution is the rejection of God's Son. Or false religion. Or unbelievers. All the same. They do not know God nor his Son. They just think that they know him. Let me say right here, just because you attend church doesn't mean that you're saved. You need to develop a personal relationship with God. Now, the rest of the people might not think that you're saved. You're not trying to convince them that you're saved. You want God to know that you're saved. But if you're saved, you're going to display some characteristics of your daddy. You got to look like me, act like me, speak like me, think like me. You got to do something
like me. If God is your father, you got to have some characteristics of him. If Jesus Christ is your savior, you got to have some of his characteristics. And all of them might not be developed enough so everybody can look at you and see them. Well, I pick on him all the time anyway, so I'll do it again today, Deacon Westbrook. If you just observe him when you're around him, if you just observe him and you don't get to know him, he'll be the most sourpuss you ever seen in your life. He'll be unconcerned, not caring about anything or anybody, until you get to know him. Sam Hayes used to say, we come to church with people, worship with people, but we don't know them. If you don't get to know Deacon Westbrook, you won't even speak. You'll be scared to speak to him. But if you get to know him, you'll know he's okay. That's the way it is with Christ. You have to get to know God up close and personal. You have to know him for yourself. Don't let the way somebody else know him be the way that you think you're going to know him. It won't be that way, because every one of us brings something different to the table. And when you get to know God and you know him for yourself, Grandmama may have known him this way, but you won't know him exactly like Grandmama. You have to know him for yourself. Persecution will come when you get to know God for yourself. When you get to know him for yourself, persecution is going to come. And I don't care how popular you are, how much everybody love you, you still going to get persecuted if everybody know you serve this God. And sometimes you're persecuted, people talk about you, and you just get a whiff of it. You don't get the whole story, because God does not see fit for you to get the whole story, especially when you are a young believer. All young believers need is encouragement. They don't need for you to, if they walk in and they blowing bubbles with bubble gum. They don't need for you to holler at them from the front of the church to tell them, take that bubble gum out of your mouth. They need to take it out. But that's not the way to do it. What we talked about a while ago, methodology, the method, the way that you do it, is going to get more results. In the yesterdays, the main usher of the church would just have a book. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? Wouldn't say a word, just walk up to you and stick it out. And you take the gum out your mouth. You know. But it's the method that we do things now. Your image of God is important. Don't see God the way you think he is. See him according to the way his word says he is. When you can see him that way, you will be growing and you will become closer to God. The people in Jesus' day rejected him. They rejected God's son and his claim about who he was, the Son of God. He claimed to be the Son of God and to have been with God from the beginning of existence. He said in one passage, as Abraham was, so am I. And some of the people in some books you read, some of the people said, you're not even 50 years old. How can you talk about you knew Abraham? Yeah, because they had totally rejected Christ in who he said he was. Brothers and sisters, you have to believe him even if you can't explain him.
If you can explain everything about your God, you need to find a different God. I cannot explain everything about this God. Some of you real intelligent people can ask some questions today that I can't answer about my God. But because you asked the question and I can't give you an answer, it's not going to affect my belief in him. Because I know that he exists. Because this word says he does, and I believe this word. So therefore, if you get persecuted because of this faithful helper, all you need to do is stay with the faithful helper, and he will not leave you. He'll stay there with you. You cannot take away God unless I want you to. If I want you to, if I want you to leave me alone, you can take him away. But see, you have to get to a point where you realize that there's more to life than what I can see. There's more to it. And so I got to believe in that and stay with that. They rejected him because they could not grasp that they could be looking at the Son of God. And it was in their religion that the Messiah was coming. And it was almost impossible for some of them to believe that he would come in their lifetime, because they had him set in one bucket and he didn't come the way they thought he should come. So that was not him. If you expect God to come this way because this is the way he came, no, it won't work. Because each one of us different, and I keep saying that. When he comes to you, you have to receive him as he is. Don't try to change it. But he will change you. Point number four. This is a long point, so I'll come back and give it again. Point number four is there is a continuous experiencing of God's love through the presence of the Holy Spirit. There is a continuous experiencing of God's love through the presence of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Point number four. There is a continuous experiencing of God's love through the presence of the Holy Spirit. The love of God is demonstrated in his justifying the man who truly believes in his Son. God demonstrates his love by justifying the man or woman who believes in his Son, Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God wants us to receive his Son. The Holy Spirit sheds the love of God abroad in our hearts. He grows and matures in us in the love of God, increasing our understanding of what God has done and is doing in us. Listen, if you think that all God's going to do in you is what he's already done, you're making a mistake. And you're limited in God. God can do amazing things in us and through us and with us. But we have to allow him to share this love abroad that he has for each one of us. He helps us to learn more and more about our justification
and more and more of the glorious salvation that he has provided for us. The Holy Spirit makes us conscious and aware of God's love and gives us a deeper and intimate sense of God's love. You really have to get where you have an intimate relationship with God. Can't you have to get to the place where nothing or nobody else can take the place of God? Not that you don't love other people, but you just love God. It's something that sometimes seems unexplainable. But if you love God, you're going to love everybody else. They might not like, you might not like what they do. God didn't like your sins, but he loved you. Every one of us, I think it's Romans 5 and 8, while we were yet sinners, he commanded his love towards us and he died for our sins. So we have to do the same thing. Those people that seem unlovable, you got to love them anyhow. You got to love them just because God said, don't like what they do. If Minister Allen slapped me, I still got to love him. I just don't want him slapping me. You got to love people, and you love them with the love of God. That's unconditional. You have nothing to do with me loving you. And we should not allow other people to stop us from loving them, no matter how bad they treat us. And most of the time when we talk about we don't like people, it's not really them we don't like. It's something they've done or something they've said. They haven't done anything to you. They just said something about you. You know, that's not them. Your sin's not you, but yet God loved you in spite of your sin. Okay. God has a great care and concern for all that receive his son and receive the salvation that he gives. And he tells us in that verse that the Holy Spirit is given unto us. It's given unto those that believe in him. It's a gift. He gives it to you. I keep saying this. I keep saying this about gifts. I say this. That's why I don't ever ask my wife what she wants me to give her for a present. I don't ask her. Because if she decides, to me, it's not a gift. And she asked me for Christmas. I'm telling this. She's going to get me. You're going to help me out. She asked me for Christmas. She said, do you want a sport jacket? I said, nope. I didn't get one. To me, she didn't want to give me a gift of a sport jacket because she had to ask me if I wanted one. Don't ask me. Just get it. You know. This suit I'm wearing now, she didn't ask me if I wanted this one. She just got it. So if you want, God gave us this. He gave us this gift because we put ourselves in a position to receive the gift. He didn't ask you if you wanted it. You put yourself in position and he gave it to you. He gave us this Holy Spirit to abide within us, to help us, to protect us, to keep us on the right track. This Holy Spirit seals us. This ball is sealed. If you don't crack this seal, it'll stay here all the time. But that's one thing I love about the seal that God put on us with the Holy Spirit. The devil in hell can't break that seal. It's good until the day of redemption. When the day of redemption comes, then the seal will be broken because Christ will come back and he can break the seal. I can break the seal on this, but then I can't take it back to the store and tell him to give me my money back. So see, God, when God seals us, we're good to go. He gives us that spirit. And then when he gives it to us, he puts it in our heart. He doesn't want it in your head. He doesn't want it in your foot. He wanted it in your heart. And when he put this Holy Spirit in our heart and he lives there for the purpose of sealing us and keeping us, and it's a guarantee that if you receive it, it's sealed and it's there. That's the fact that God loves and cares for us and looks after us, because we allow part of the Godhead to indwell and to live within us. And it makes sure that we have an unbroken relationship with God. Because when you get out of kilter, the Holy Spirit will bring you back. It will let you know that you've gotten to the wrong place. I mentioned justification a few minutes ago. Justification means that you stand before God just as if you had never sinned. Because if you can stand before God, Jesus is going to have to be there. That's our justification. He makes it clean because we receive his son. I keep thinking about this, and every time I talk about something like this, most time my mind goes to a section in who's that? Alex Haley that wrote the movie Roots. The master had a son that didn't like having slaves. So the slaves and the young, his son, got together, and they would fake it that he was hurting them and treating them bad. The master never checked on him, because when the son got home, he told him everything was all right. But they did what they wanted to. They went where they wanted to go. If they didn't want to work, they didn't work. But the son was taking the word to the father who was in charge. Now that's wrong. But I'm trying to show you a point about receiving God's son. If you receive his son, Jesus Christ is going to tell him that you are all right, that you are, you have been washed in the blood of his, and that will make it all right. Justification is a legal term, meaning that it's okay. Everything is all right. Everything have been satisfied. It's just like that. Jesus justified us when he became our propitiation. He paid everything that needed to be paid, and he paid it in full. I got two more things to tell you. I know I read to you Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 7 through 16. Jeremiah said in that passage, Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. And then he turned right around and said, Lord, you are stronger than I am, and you have prevailed. He said, Lord, I was in derision. I was in confusion. I was all messed up, and this happened to me every day. And people poke fun at me every day because I was speaking your word. All the people mock me and because I spoke the word. But then he said, look, and Lord, look at me now. I'm in jail right now because I have spoken your word. I got angry with you, God. I decided and I made up my mind that I was not going to speak your word. I was determined I wasn't going to say anything about you. I wasn't going to talk about you anymore. But then all of a sudden, the word got like fire shut up in my bones. And I had to say something because I couldn't keep who you are to myself. I had to tell somebody about you. And when I went out in public, I heard people talking about me, defaming me, saying all kind of things about me and about you, God. And I just got to a point where I couldn't stand. And everywhere I went, there was fear all around me. God, I just didn't know what to do. And everybody was speaking and they were watching me, just waiting on me to fail. You know how we do people when they're going through a situation. We look at them and say, when are they going to cry? When are they going to quit? Jeremiah had those same feelings. But then when you keep reading it, you find out that they're came a confidence within Jeremiah. He said, the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one, meaning that God is with him and God is stronger than anybody else. See, every now and then you got to come to the realization that Lord, if it was not for you, I couldn't do this. No matter what I said or what I did in the yesterdays of my life or even today, God, I know right now that if it was not for you, I could not make it. Jeremiah was at those points. And see, Jeremiah was able to do something that some of us need to do. We need to get along with God and have a conversation with God and just let God know that we know how bad we are ourselves. I might not tell everybody else how bad I am, how sinful I am. God, but you know me and who I am. God, and I know that if it was not for you, I would not have made it. I got to stay with you. And he said, God, some people are persecuting me. He said, I know those that are persecuting me are going to stumble and fall. You don't have to worry about people that's on your back because you're serving God. You just keep serving God and they're going to fall and you'll look back and look at them. But then when you look back and look at them, don't walk by them or don't step on
on them, reach down and help them up, because God have blessed you not to be where they are. You got to know, you got to have a confidence that God have sent the faithful helper, and the faithful helper resides within you. You have to let God abide within you. And I told you earlier that every now and then, if God is your daddy, you got to show some sign that he is your daddy, because you got to do something for somebody that can't do anything for you, and you're not looking for anything in return. Just because of the love of God, you have to do something for somebody else. Yes, the faithful helper is there, and sometimes it seems like he's not there. God, where are you? I know y'all never been like that, but sometimes I just look around and say, God, where are you? Why I got to go through this? Why there's not somebody else? God, take it someplace else. And then he reminds me of Calvary. And then I start crying and begging for forgiveness, because God put his faithful helper within each one of us. And when we allow that faithful helper to live within us, God will get the glory for what we're going through. You just got to stay there. The other thing that I want to tell you is another story. I read this one and I saw the Holy Spirit right there. There was this father who had a son, and his son was mentally retarded and went to school with the other kids, and sometimes they poke fun at him, but he loved to play catch, baseball. And as it would happen, as the story goes, one Saturday they were walking by the park and they were playing baseball. And they walked out and took a seat, and one of the teams was getting beat real bad. Then the other team came in and they scored runs. And one of the boys that was on the team recognized the boy. The father's son was named Shay. And he said, "Hey, Shay." Shay spoke back. Shay said, "Let me play." He said, "We getting beat." He said, "So?" He said, "We only have 8 players." He asked his dad, "Can he play?" He said, he almost said no, but Shay looked at him and said, "Daddy, let me play." And he let him go play. And the guy that knew him had a glove, and they put him in the right field. The other team come up to bat. They got all the outs in the infield. And when they got in, they were about 3 or 4 runs behind. It was 2 outs. And it was Shay's time to come to bat. Bases loaded. Behind 3 runs. The guy that was pitching was also at the same school, and he recognized who Shay was. So he moved up real close to him and pitched the ball like this. The first time Shay swung at it, he missed it. Then he stepped a little bit closer and he pitched it to him. And Shay hit the ball and it went about 2 feet in front of him. And everybody started hollering, "Run, Shay, run, run." And Shay started running to first base. The pitcher picked the ball up and threw it in right field. And everybody on the team hollering, "Run, Shay, run." And he gets the first and he starts the second. The right fielder picks the ball up. And then he looks and sees what everybody's doing. And he takes and throws the ball to left field. "Shay, run." He's at second base. The other 3 runs have already scored. And Shay's just running from first to second. And they threw the ball away all the way until Shay ran in home. And the last guy picked the ball up and was going to throw it in home. And he threw it, and it seemed like the wind took the ball and carried it over the backstop. Shay scored the winning run. Now, remember the pitcher? He pitched it the first time. He missed it. He got closer to him and pitched it, and he hit it. That's what God did for us. He was in heaven. He sent Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and all those people, and we didn't get it.
But then he sent Jesus. And we're getting it. We're getting it. We mess up. But then somebody throws the ball to right field. And we keep going. We mess up. But Jesus came. Do something to help somebody else get closer to Christ. Brothers and sisters, we have a faithful helper, and his name is the Holy Spirit. With that, we'll extend an invitation for you to come to Christ just as you are. Don't try to change yourself. Just come. If you come to Christ, he will in no wise turn you away. I think that was one of our scriptures last.